What are the top three things you can do to improve your sensual and sexual life in 2024? Welcome to Sex, Love, and Elephants. I'm Dr. Cheryl Fraser. What a delight to be here for our second in the series of New Year's 2024 kickoff podcast, where I'm going to give you actionable tips to help you improve your relationship this year. If you didn't hear the first one on January 1st, you want to go back and listen to that one. I asked you a list of questions about who you want to be this year, how you want to be a great partner. But today, what are the top three tips I can give you to improve your sexual life this year? Bit of background, if you're not yet that familiar with me, I'm a sex therapist and psychologist. I'm an author of the book Buddhist Bedroom, where I combine the teachings of Buddhism and sex and love therapy. Sounds like a unique contribution. It kind of is. And I am very passionate about an overused word, but given that my entire company motto is Become Passion, I'm going to use it. I'm very passionate about helping couples just like you improve your relationship, particularly long-term couples. And by long-term couples, I mean you've been together more than a couple of years. So one of the things I hear over and over from the couples I work with in my Become Passion program is we don't have sex anymore, or we have sex, but it's boring, or we really don't prioritize our sensual life. We're busy with the kids and the mortgage and life and all of the things that really can take precedent over your sensual life. So what I've got for you today are three tips. Let's jump right in. The first one, believe it or not, doesn't involve getting naked. So the first tip I have for you on how to improve your sensual and sexual life this year is to practice more non-erotic touch. So let me define something for you right now. I use this word sensual a lot when I talk with people about how to improve the aspect of their life that usually involves nudity. But I want you to realize that when you isolate your erotic connection to sex itself or being naked itself or touching certain areas of the body, the breast, the anus, the genitals, as that's when we're being sexual, you really limit a vast palette of sensuality. Now, the senses are, of course, the sense of vision and smell and taste and touch and hearing. So what I really like couples to do, and it surprises some of them, is to start really prioritizing non-sexual touch. Honestly, this can really help your sensual sexual life. And I work with a lot of couples who haven't made love in months or years. About 30% of couples are in what is defined as a sexless relationship. That means you make love six or fewer times a year. Do the math. If you're making love every couple of months or less, you're in a clinically sexless or low sex relationship. Don't worry about the terms. Different researchers call it different things. The point is you're making love rarely or not at all. So when I start to help a couple in my Become Passion program move from being no sex to wanting some sexual or sexual life, I start them with non-sexual touch, of course. Now, what does that look like, Dr. Cheryl? Well, what it looks like is my favorite little activity, what I call the three breath hug. And it's as simple as it sounds. I want you to face your partner. I want you to embrace them deeply chest to chest, or my guy's about 8 inches taller than me. So it's my face snuggled into his chest, my arms around him, his arms around me, and press into each other's back. So I want the palms of your hands on each other's back. I want this to be a fairly tight embrace, not boa constrictor tight, but tight. And then you breathe in together and you breathe out together. And then guess what? You repeat it two more times. This simple deceptive touch, I want you to start doing it every day at least once. Great way to say goodbye when one of you leaves the house. Great way to say hello when one of you gets home. The three breath hug does several things. One of them is it helps calm down your sympathetic nervous system. That's the freak out system. That's the fight or flight system. So if you're anxious, or if you've been bickering with each other, or you're worried about the taxes, or you're feeling sad or overwhelmed with your workload at work, that helps calm that system down. The three breath hug starts to accentuate, or in a way, encourage the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the calm down system. That's the system that helps your blood pressure lower, your heart rate slow down, and the biochemistry and neurohormones of calm can be activated. So a three breath hug can join you in so many ways. The other reason this non-sexual touch is so powerful is you don't talk during it. We often talk, sometimes endlessly and in a circular manner, about our sensual or sexual life or our lack of satisfaction with that sexual life and more. So Having a three-breath hug without talking is a beautiful way to connect body to body. It's non-threatening. If you're arguing about your sexual life in general in your life, this is a way to connect you that is sort of tricky. It's very deceptively simple, but it can be very powerful. So the first tip to improve your sexual and sensual life this year and every year since is to touch in a non-sexual way more often. I've given you the specific technique I love of the three-breath hug. Of course, use your creative imagination. Hold hands when you're walking on the beach. When my sweetheart and I are driving, depending who's driving, the passenger usually has their hand on the other one's knee or maybe draped around the back of the car seat with my palm, say, touching my sweetheart's neck under his long, lustrous hair. He's got pretty nice hair, my man. Touch more, touch often, touch everywhere but the more overtly sexual zones. That's my first tip for you. What's my second tip for better sexuality or reigniting sexuality in 2024? I want you to schedule sensual time. I know you're throwing metaphorical tomatoes at your wherever you're listening to me right now. Don't do that. It's not good for your device. Or it's also a waste of tomatoes. Look, I'm just going to lay some factoids on you, my friends. The data is very clear that the majority, the vast majority, probably 90%+ of couples in a long-term relationship have boring or non-existent sex. I've told you that already. And they wait for something that we in the biz call spontaneous desire. Now, spontaneous desire, as the name implies, is where you feel hot and horny, turned on, sexually motivated, fairly spontaneously. You know, your sweetheart gives you a hot kiss and your tongues touch and boom, you're feeling turned on in your body or in your mind. Or your partner might even say, hey, you look gorgeous. You want to grab a quickie before we go out for dinner? And you're like, yeah, I like that idea. Do you remember in the earlier days of your relationship, maybe the first couple of years, maybe a bit longer for a few of you, where you were easily turned on and aroused and attracted to your partner? I could not keep my paws off my partner for our first several years together. And we met in our late 40s. I was 49. He was 48. We weren't horny teenagers. We were horny adults. There was so much passion, so much sensual spark, so much attraction. We'd make love twice a day, sometimes more. He'd go to leave at 4 a.m. because he worked an hour or so away and he had an early shift some days. And he'd kiss me goodnight. I'd be 3/4 asleep, but I'd still get spontaneously aroused. Now, here's the bad news. It is the nature of human biology, human relationship, human psychology, turning from cave people rutting like monkeys into having cave babies and decorating your cave and trying to pay off your cave mortgage, I suppose, in rocks. I don't know how that worked, where our physiology and psychology tends to shift into more of a caretaking type of love, a closeness type of love, not so much the lusty pursuit, I'm going to conquer you and make you my mate, yahoo, let's have babies. We may not be thinking let's have babies, but in terms of Darwinian survival of the fittest, it's part of what drives us to mate so copiously in the beginning, which is a bit of a long story on the important point, which is over time, usually over the first 18 to 24 months, maybe a bit longer for some of you, our spontaneous desire, that yummy, I'm so horny, can't wait to jump your bones desire, tends to really fade for one partner or often both partners. And this is true across the board, heterosexual, gay, lesbian, LGBTQ+, whomever you are, however you love, I love you and you're bloody well welcome in my home and at my podcast and my programs and everywhere else. But across the board, that spontaneous desire, horniness, arousal tends to decline, which leaves us with, I'll admit it, a far less sexy version of desire that we need to rely on, which is responsive desire. This is not a very popular teaching, but it's a very important teaching because to cut to the chase, it means you need to start making love when you're not turned on at all. What? Are you kidding me? Why would I start making love if I'm zero turned on? Because, as I've just explained, if you're waiting to feel turned on more easily, more spontaneously, you may be waiting a really long time. I often say waiting for spontaneous sexual desire is a bit like waiting for your teenager to spontaneously clean up their room. It's very unlikely to happen. If it does happen, enjoy the hell out of it, but don't count on it. What this quite simply means, and I'm going to quote the researcher Rosemary Besson from the University of British Columbia Sexual Health Research Lab, and she talks about it this way, very simply. She says the majority of long-term couples start making love from a place of sexual neutrality. I'll repeat that. The majority of long-term couples start making love from a place of sexual neutrality. What does that mean, Dr. Cheryl? It means they start making love when neither of them is turned on. Pause and think about that. The majority of longer-term couples start making love when neither of you is turned on. Does this sound familiar? You might start making love because it's been a month and you realize you should probably have some sex, or because you've scheduled sex, which is your second point of the three tips to reignite and have a better sexual life this year, is to schedule sex. Now, I know that doesn't sound very romantic. That's because we are, myself included, honestly, we're kind of hanging on to and longing for that ease and delight and horniness of the earlier days and years where we were turned on so easily. Now, if you've got an aging body, I'm 59 now. If you're postmenopause as a female, if you're over, 35 really for a man, but over 45 or more, there can be erection difficulties, vaginal changes, definite changes in sexual desire through hormonal changes, particularly for women postmenopause, but also through men through andropause. And all of that can mean I don't have a sex drive at all. I just don't feel like it. I'm not averse to it. I don't have anything against sexuality. I just don't feel it. So why bother? That's why you absolutely must learn to schedule sensual dates. Now, I've substituted there. You heard that? The word sensual again for sexual, because this is what I mean. If you schedule sex, there's going to be an expectation for one or both of you that that means you're going to have penetrative intercourse of some kind, or oral sex, or hand jobs, or blowjobs, or any number of lovely things that could lead to an orgasm for one or both of you. That may well be the case. But if you're a bit earlier days in terms of trying to revive a sensual relationship, oh my goodness, I work on this in so much depth in my Become Passion program. If you're not familiar with that, stay tuned. I'll be offering it in April this year, spring 2024. It's a 12-week journey with me where I teach you every week. You have a full curriculum. And the last 4 to 5 weeks of our 12 weeks together are really focused on what I'm briefly teaching you right now, which is how to move from low or no desire to having more desire, how to move from low or no sex to having more sex. If you are having sex and it's okay, it's once a week, once every 2 weeks, it's okay. How to make that better. And we're circling back now to this second point I'm teaching you today. Schedule sensual encounters. Now, that might mean you go to bed naked and you spoon and you snuggle and you stroke each other's backs. You may or may not be ready to move towards sexuality if you're currently sexless. I'm going to keep it real damn simple. Responsive desire, which is what I'm talking about, the second type of sexual arousal or desire, different from spontaneous, which is spontaneous, needs to be created. Now, that might literally mean I am so not turned on, I feel just like I'd way rather watch a movie, but I'm willing to try. And that might mean if your partner's feeling a little more turned on, they're like, well, just lay there, babe. Let me give you oral sex. Let me turn you on. Let me get your engine started. Let me get your body responding. Let me get you to where you do feel turned on. Just relax. I'll put on some music for you to listen to distract your mind a little bit so you stop thinking about the work worries and just lie there. Let me turn your body on. That would be a scheduled sensual encounter that leads to your body then being aroused, turned on, and then you're more into it, and then you make love and you have a good time. So I want you to schedule sensual encounters. The two of you will decide whether that's for sex itself of some kind. I'm acting like sex is one thing, but I'm defining it momentarily as something that leads to, you know, sexual pleasure and orgasm for one or both of you or in that realm. But you can have a naked snuggle, stroke each other's body, give each other a shoulder rub, and that is important too. This is a sensual encounter. I want these sensual encounters to be naked. Why? Because skin on skin gives a type of physical connection. Again, it helps that parasympathetic nervous system, that connection, oxytocin, feeling close. That's why you might pick up a small baby and put it on your bare chest to hold it, to cradle it, etc. And very simply, being naked is vulnerable in a beautiful way. It literally and metaphorically means I'm allowing you to see all of me. I stand here before you vulnerable, naked, with nothing between us. So another thing I often suggest to couples, whether you're making love these days or not, is to shower or bathe together naked, or if you've got a jacuzzi, hot tub, or whatever outside, to go in that naked. And whatever hangups we might have about our bodies as they change from cultural or religious or family background, we may be quite shy about nudity. That's all okay. I respect and hold you gently, but being naked with your partner is really important. If you think about it, long-term relationship, if you're choosing a monogamy model and you're attempting to be with one person, the only way that your relationship is really different from, say, your deepest friendships is nudity. What I mean is you can be wonderful to your kids with a friend. Their uncle, aunt, godparent might be amazing with your kids. You can go traveling with friends. You can have deep conversations with friends. You can handle financial challenges with friends. The thing that sets apart a chosen relationship, if you're choosing monogamy, it's okay if you're not, but if you are, is you're the only person I'm getting naked with. So when you're not getting naked with your partner for a sensual encounter, and again, that may not involve sex or overt genital touching at this time, you're not allowing the two of you to have an incredibly precious, beautiful aspect of being alive shared with someone you love. So that's your second tip. Schedule sensual encounters. I can take a much deeper dive into that later in this series. This series is about giving you actionable steps to help improve your relationship through kind of January, February, doing a bit of a beginning of the year kickoff together. A reminder, I'm going to have some special guests in the next couple months. I'm going to be giving you these actionable steps. I've got a free class I'm going to be offering in February. And very excitingly, in April, you're going to get a chance to join a couple of hour relationship reboot live on Zoom with me. That'll be super fun. And then I'll be kicking off my 12-week program at the end of April. Lots of great stuff coming your way if you want to keep improving your relationship. So if you're not already on my Love Bite list, go to my website. You can see that in the show notes below, or it's simply drsherylfraser.com and sign up. So every Tuesday, you'll get a link to one of these podcasts or a video or a little tip from me into your inbox. And it's also where you'll be the first person to hear about all these great classes and free things with me coming up. Okay, I know you want the third tip. To review, the first tip is touch more with your clothes on. Touch more, touch often. Three breath hugs, snuggling, spooning when you watch a movie, giving each other foot rubs. Just a lot of ongoing touch to connect you that way. That's with your clothes on, and this is non-erotic touch. The second tip is schedule sex. Schedule sensual dates. Decide how often. I like once a week as a starter point for everybody, but once a month might be enough for you right now as you grow your sexual and sensual connection. And the third tip is, for goodness sake, those of you making love and those of you that will get to making love, would you be more creative and spend a little more time some of the time? I call the typical North American sex life nipple, nipple, crotch, good night. And it's exactly why you're laughing, because you know you've got your little routine. I touch you here, you stroke me there. When you do this to my clitoris, I tend to come. And then when you thrust a certain way, you tend to come, and now we're finished. Is that bad? Absolutely not. It's absolutely not bad, but it's pretty, what's the word I'm looking for? Unimaginative and frankly lazy. So if you're guilty, I've worked with so many couples, and I know that the majority of you listening are guilty of what I just said, is that your sex life's become very routine, hopefully pleasurable. Hopefully you both have sexual pleasure orgasms. Not everybody does. I could talk about that in a future podcast, but it's pretty routine and boring. Shake it up a bit. Another statistic for you that should make you look a little shamefaced is that the average sexual encounter lasts 7 minutes. That's from nudge, nudge to snore. 7 minutes. That's pretty lazy. Do you fall into that category? Most of us do a lot of the time. So what I want you to do is to invest a little more creativity and attention to your sexual encounters, at least 1 in 4, let's say. Nothing wrong with routine. Nipple, nipple, crotch, goodnight, and quickies and everything else are not bad. They're wonderful. But if that's all you're doing, you've got a fast food sex life, my friend. And I'd like you to occasionally indulge in some more gourmet sexuality. And what might that look like? It might simply be you set a timer, or don't. I'm not a big fan of timers, but it's to make the point, for 45 minutes. And you snuggle and you kiss and you nibble and you stroke each other's body. Maybe you get some body paint, or you get a feather, or you grab an old tie or the sash of your old ratty bathrobe and you use it to tie each other's wrists. I simply mean spend more time, more creativity, tease each other, be more provocative. You don't have to be triple X, although there's nothing wrong with that, but just don't be so lazy and always do the same thing. If you don't usually give oral sex, try giving oral sex. If you usually are a bit shy about receiving oral sex, explore that. If you want more information on that, keep listening to this podcast, find some good books, join my program. My program's not all about sex by any means. It's about the entire relationship, but we do a really good job in the latter third of the program of really looking at how to improve your sexual life. So that's your third tip, which is, would you please be a little more creative? Try a little harder. Don't be so lazy. Don't be nipple, nipple, crotch, goodnight. Make your sex life more important. Make it more of a priority. Spend more time being a better lover. Now, that's a really important teaching point here on Sex, Love, and Elephants and in all the work I do, which is a lot of the times, and I don't fault you for it, and this isn't a blame game, but a lot of the time, we focus on what we want our partner doing for us. We want them to be more romantic. We want them to pick up more of the tasks around home. We want them to make our sex life more interesting. We want them to seduce us. Are those bad things to want? No, they're not. But if you want to be the change in your relationship, if you want to take agency and ownership to be a better partner and to create a better romantic and sexual life together, how about you become the one for a while, and then hopefully we'll get your partner involved and enrolled in this, play this podcast for them, and they'll also want to be a better partner, a better lover. But for now, how about you say, honey, I'd like to try a couple different things. I'd like to spend a bit longer. I love our usual way of making love. It's so satisfying. We've kind of got that dialed, so to speak. But I'd like us to just maybe not rush quite as much. I want to give you more pleasure. So just lie there. Maybe tie your wrists or maybe not. Just lie there and let me play around with different ways to turn you on. Now, this is more complicated than I'm making it sound. That's why it's a 12-week program, not a 12-minute program. But still, I wanted to give you some actionable tools today to help you do three things to help your sex life be better in 2024. And that brings us to today's Love Bite. No more nipple, nipple, crotch, good night. Touch more, touch often. Be more creative and, yep, schedule sex if you want more and better sex this year and your whole life long. Thanks so much for joining me. I'll be back with you next week with more actionable tips this January and February to help you create love and passion that last a lifetime. Bye for now. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Sex, Love, and Elephants. But most of all, thank you for being part of this herd. If you enjoyed listening, please share this with a friend. And if you haven't already, I would love, love, love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review the show on your podcast player, because it really helps all the other elephants find us. If you have any questions or comments or maybe an idea for the show or you'd like to be a guest, reach out to me directly at drcherylfraser.com, where you can also sign up for weekly Love Bites, science-based tips for creating love and passion that last a lifetime.